something has to change. And it's not that you won't go through seasons that are harder than others, but I think you just have to take inventory of like, what is serving me right now? What is bringing me joy? And where do I really want to go in my life? And so when I came to that conclusion, I was like, no, I want to be in the how-to. I want to show people how to make a cheese board.
Welcome to the Influencer Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Solomon. If you found yourself here, it means you are ready to unleash the powerful visionary that lives inside you, turning you into an authentic leader who creates influence, impact, and change. Let's get started. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Influencer Podcast. Today, we have the fabulous Courtney LaCourte here with us, also known as the Cheese Gal, and she is sharing her journey of starting as a cheese board business and transitioning into a full-time personal brand. What I love about Courtney and her journey is that she discusses the challenges of starting from just creating content online, then becoming a service provider with creating cheese boards, then opening and closing a brick and mortar store in Nashville, Tennessee, and the importance of honoring each of those seasons. What I think is going to be really cool about this conversation and what I'm excited for you to hear is really that Courtney has done and tried it all. She's gone from creating services for people. She's gone from just creating content. She's had the brick and mortar business. And she talks about dealing with the imposter syndrome and just how to navigate all of that in the midst. Then she leads us to where she is today and the impact that all of this has led her to, the content that she's now creating, the impact of travel, and what that's really bringing about in her content. And she shares her future plans of expanding her brand and potentially launching a homeware line. So in this conversation, we discuss all of the things, and it's going to be perfect for you if you have a lot of passions and interests that can really lead to unexpected opportunities and growth, and you're wondering how to dive into that or what to maybe try first or test out first, or, you know, really kind of figuring out, okay, I know what my niche is, but there's so many different avenues that I can take to really bring that niche to life. So how do I do that? And so this is really where we're going to be talking about how do you honor the seasons of your brand evolving and really how you can allow that to reveal the future plans and expansion of your own business. Another little caveat here is Courtney is just an amazing human being, and I love to follow her on Instagram. She's one of my favorite people to follow just because she is so real, authentic. What you see is what you get. And the way that she marries that into her stories and her reels and just the content that she brings about in her lifestyle brand is really captivating. And I think that we can all learn a lot from it. So with that, let's get started.
Courtney LaCourte.
Hello, my friend.
I want to say that. Courtney LaCourte. I love it.
I always tell people when they ask what my name is, I'm like, Court LaCourte. It's hard to forget that.
I'm so grateful to know you. And, you know, personally, we got to meet several years ago. We both live in Nashville. And I know you obviously as Courtney LaCourte. But the other way that people may know of you is the Cheese Gal.
My second name, really.
So with that said, for those that are listening, if they don't follow the Cheese Gal, which I don't see how you don't follow the Cheese Gal, share a little bit about how Courtney stepped into the content that is the Cheese Gal, how this kind of all got started. I know that been an evolution.
It has been such an evolution. In fact, oftentimes when I kind of tell people about me, I'm like, I always start at the beginning. So I feel like that's the easiest way to do it. But I love food, first of all. Love food, love a good cocktail. I love hosting and entertaining. So everything that I'm doing now stems from that love. And I've been pretending to have my own cooking show since I was 5 years old. There are home videos somewhere out there with me talking to two teddy bears that were my cameramen. So I've always loved the idea of being in front of the camera, always loved food, started making cheese boards when I was 15, learned that from my godmother. She was kind of like hostess with the mostest and gave me her top tips. And so over the years, I developed different ways to make a beautiful cheese board. And so about 15 years after that, I started my own cheese board business here in Nashville, which I believe is how I met you. So I made cheese boards while simultaneously building my online platforms from Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, simultaneously. And there was a point a couple of years ago where I was like, well, I really want to do more of this. It's so much more fun for me. I want to be with my kids more. And so I made the decision to totally make that transition. So now I'm a full-time recipe developer, content creator, and wannabe Ida Garten.
I love it. Okay. So there's so much good stuff here and so much to unpack. So, you know, what is really fascinating about your journey, and just from a lot of the people that listen to this could possibly relate to what I'm about to say, is that typically, quote unquote, how this usually goes from a content creator standpoint is that someone builds a social media platform first. And then from that, they create a product or a service or a brick and mortar or da 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 da. But what I remember being so cool and fascinating about your journey is that you really started as the cheese gal here locally in Nashville, where you would curate these insane, incredible, these weren't just boards, people. I mean, these were like tables of cheese and charcuterie and just amazingness. And you did it at the same time as also kind of documenting the process of that, which then started to catapult your social media presence. And so can you talk about how those things really parlayed into one another and how it helped you grow in one way or another?
Yeah, totally. I mean, to put this in perspective, I didn't even have a website for my business for 2 years because Instagram was that platform, which is what I would tell people. That, girl, I didn't have a business email. Okay. Like, I literally did everything off of DMs. I mean, that is hilarious. So exactly what you just said, it's like, I always loved being in front of the camera. So that was my way to do it. Right. And I wanted to show people how to do things. So I would show how I'm making the cheese board for this client or that client. And really quickly, just word spread word of mouth at first. So people would post a photo of their board that they got from me, and then their friends would see it. They would buy a board, post that board. So it just was like this chain reaction on that front, but also was getting partnership deals and things like that on the other side. I was really working 2 full-time jobs, which is why I was like, I can't do this.
I guess my first question, were you expecting that? And then 2, was there this congruence? Did you see, like, the more that your social started growing, just because you had really great digestible content for us to consume, and it was something that people were interested in and wanted, and how did you see that incongruence also help you start to just max out your capacity for being able to be like a service provider and doing this for people?
Well, they really grew like this at the same time, right? And then through COVID, because my business model was already like, you know, I'm delivering to your front door type of thing, it continued to grow. But I will say, there was a point where I started seeing social media content be more of a desire from my followers. And when I would post too much of the cheese board business, I would see engagement drop. So it was really interesting. But for a while, they grew at the same time. And yeah, it was really such an interesting thing, because though my feed, you would look at first, was all just cheese boards, everything kind of lived on stories, like my everyday. And I saw such an interest in that. But to answer your question, I didn't expect that. It started happening probably 6 months into me having my Instagram. I was having cheese companies reach out to me and say, hey, can I gift you this cheese and you put it on your next feed? And of course, I did a ton of free work for the longest time, didn't realizing that I should be getting paid for that. And then I quickly realized, I was like, so if you want me to use that cheddar, you got to pay it, buddy. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, that's the name of the game. That's how it works.
Just popping in real quick to let you know about a new training that I have that gives you the 3 steps to grow your following and land 10K brand deals in just 30 days, especially if you have a small following and no more time for content creation. Now, this class is perfect for you if you are ready to really build out a clear and concise content strategy that helps you grow. If you're ready to grow your following by creating engaging content so you can attract the brands that are willing to pay you. If you're ready to land paid brand deals from the content that you're creating so you can diversify your revenue streams, and of course, make content creation and content strategy your full-time career so you can have more freedom in your work and flexibility in your schedule. Now, this class comes packed with a ton of strategies as well as some free bonuses that you will not want to miss. So head on over to pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to join. There are multiple times available so you can make any time work for you no matter where you are. Again, that's pitchitperfect.net/masterclass to get all the details.
And what I love about your story and really your journey and what was true for you is that the more that you were just tapping into what it is that you were doing, you found a need, you found something that people found enjoyable, being curious, interested in, applicable. The brands were like, hey, do you want to feature us? And then you started listening to yourself. Not only were you listening to your audience, because you started to see like, what are people really coming to me for? And I think because you are who you are and you're so likable and you're so real and you're so relatable, you're going to be someone that we want more than just cheese from you. We want the whole kit and caboodle. And so before we get to that, though, I know that there was another season, and I think this is just important to talk about because it's real, where you decided to open a brick and mortar. I went to the opening of it. It was fabulous, amazing. It was also during a time when the country was shut down and going through a lot. But I want to hear a little bit about what made your decision to do that. What was your experience like with that? I know that it was, what, 18 months to 2 years later that you decided to close it. So I want to hear about the journey of that. And for those that don't live in Nashville, they probably are not aware of like the location and da-da-da-da-da. So if you can kind of share what your experience was like with opening the brick and mortar, what you learned from that, and then your decision to close it so you could really expand in other arenas.
Totally. I would love to talk about this because it was such a learning experience. What a journey that was. Okay, so let's back up. 2020 hits, my business tripled just because of the business model. And so it felt like the next thing naturally is obviously I need a storefront versus just having a bigger commercial kitchen space where I hired more employees. I thought, well, what if it was like a wine shop, cheese shop vibe? So I was approached by the Fairlane Hotel, which is in downtown Nashville, and they had the bigger kitchen. They had this beautiful space downstairs and they offered me an amazing deal. I thought, well, this is it. This has to be it. And everyone told me that I asked, I said, okay, give me your best advice for how to run a brick and mortar. What's the hardest part? And they said, managing people. That is the hardest part. And they were not kidding. And I'm a people person. Okay. But I quickly found that trying to be like the cool mom, like the cool boss, didn't always work out in my favor, and that there's a way to still be kind and live in the kindness world with respect and boundaries and all of that while still being the boss. It's very expensive. You quickly see your profit margins and you're like, holy, was I prepared for this? And I think the craziest part was we always did really well. I try not to let it bother me, but I had a few people send me different things that were on different websites and things. Oh, well, they were hurting for business. I'm like, no. The problem is that we had too much. I had too much business. I could not keep up. I could not stay staffed. The turnover was insane. Keeping people employed, keeping up with the demand, and then also just going, wait a second, I'm turning down so many partnership deals. And I really was, you know, at the height of my brick and mortar, really longing and wanting to do more of what I'm doing now. And I just simply didn't have the capacity. I just had a second baby, was going through a little bit of postpartum, and it was just really hard. And I learned so much about myself during that process of owning a business and managing people. I don't know if that answered your question, but it was quite the learning experience. And so when the time came, I had been thinking to myself silently for 6 months towards the end, like, what if I just close it? And I thought, no, you can't ever walk away. Like, this is what you do forever. And then my assistant gave me her 2-week notice. And she was like, I got to move back home. And I was like, oh, I went to a spiral for about 30 minutes. And then I called my husband and I said, I don't want to do it anymore. And he said, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I said, you are. He goes, I've literally been praying that you would come to this conclusion because it served its purpose. And now you're turning down these huge opportunities because you don't have the capacity. And this is not sustainable. You can't keep going like this. You're drowning. And that was the moment that I said, okay, I'm done. And I'm the type of person that when I'm done, I'm done. Like, when can I close it?
And this is so good because I think this is your story with this. And thank you just for just being so open and sharing. It's a masterclass in so many different things. It's a masterclass of the power of saying no, of trusting your gut, of honoring what your true self is. Yes. And also managing people. Like you said, you can be a people person and not be someone that is meant to manage people. Managing people and being a people person are two completely different things. And especially when it comes in the workforce, managing a team and managing people are the hardest part of any business, especially a brick and mortar, and especially in a season where it's like people have to want to work first. in order to stay employed, people have to want to work. And when there sometimes is an environment where people are just, it doesn't matter how much you're incentivizing them, they just don't want to do the job that they're doing. There's nothing that you can do. You can't change or control that circumstance. And so I just love that you shared this. And I think it's a great reminder for those that are listening that when you say no to something in order to say yes to something else, it doesn't mean that you have failed. It doesn't mean that you haven't proven something. It doesn't mean that you're giving up. It doesn't mean that you're letting go. To me, it just means like it served its purpose. You win, you learn, you pivot, you move, and you just keep going. It's an evolution of growth, all of it.
I love how you said that. It's so true. It's an evolution. And I think it's giving yourself the permission to change your mind and know that that's not failure. It's really just evolving. You're evolving. And so for me, I looked at it going, how lucky and blessed am I to say that I can walk away from the very thing that gave me the platform and I can step out into something bigger and better for me. And I think too, another thing, like as a mom, you know, and I know you understand this, it's like when you find yourself so overwhelmed and like when you're answering your friends, when they say, how are you doing? You're like, I'm drowning. Something needs to change. Something has to change. And it's not that you won't go through seasons that are harder than others, but I think you just have to take inventory of like, what is serving me right now? What is bringing me joy? And where do I really want to go in my life? And so when I came to that conclusion, I was like, no, I want to be in the how-to. I want to show people how to make a cheese board. And a little test that I did, I don't know if you remember this, Julie, when I went on the Dirty Martini journey, I still had the business, but that was my first real test of like, no, people are very interested in what I have to say beyond just cheese. So I think that was like my sort of light bulb, like, huh, maybe I can really do this.
Yeah. They're interested in your lifestyle and your wisdom and your perspective and your thoughts, which we're going to get to all of that because selfishly, since I have you here, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. But I feel like, you know, this is also a great reminder for those that are listening to see that there's also seasons, right? Like, and I love that you brought up the mom thing because I think, and for any mom listening, you know that you're going to have those seasons where just your family just kind of needs you a little bit more and you kind of got to just be in it with the babies and the toddlers and the kids and the husband and the wife and all the things. And then there's going to be other seasons where you have the space to kind of expand a little bit more and get your elbows out and take up a little bit more space. But it's when we try to refuse to honor the seasons that we're in. And I think that from what I hear you say is that there was a season that you just needed to kind of burn down the version of what your business was so you could then step into and recreate what it was going to be at the same time, also honoring what your family needed from you at the time. And I think that now we, as consumers of your content, we get to reap the benefits of that. So I want you to share that after you said, okay, I'm done. I'm closing the brick and mortar down so I can create more space. What happened next? What was the initial idea? What you're like, okay, am I going back to just doing cheese board? Like what, like who am I and what am I doing?
It was the craziest thing. So that phone call I have with my husband, I tell him, I don't want to do this anymore. He goes, you're on the right track. I walk back in, literally run into my manager and I go, Katie, I think I'm going to close the business. We sit down and we just like go, okay, what am I doing? And she was like, recipes are working. You're seeing that people want more than just cheese boards from you. And so from there, I was like, okay, I'm going to kind of just start with appetizers. And I eased my way with like testing out stuff because I don't have a professional culinary background. I have no training. I am very much so a home cook. Okay. So there was a little bit of imposter syndrome and still is, by the way, but especially at first. Where I'm like, I'm walking into a space of if I'm going to really just do this on social media, like there's so many chefs and actual people that know what they're doing. And I thought, no, I need to lean in to why people like me. And that's because I do keep it real. I feel like I'm the same person. Of course, I feel this way. I feel like I'm the same person here as I am off camera. Like it's me. I want people to feel like they're FaceTiming with me in the kitchen and I'm just trying out, you know, let's try this quick little appetizer that you can put together in 5 minutes without thinking about it. What things can I keep in my pantry that at all times I can pull something out of my hat? So everything that I do now is kind of from that perspective. It's easy. It's attainable. I want to make you feel like you can do it. So I just really leaned into that. And then all the partnerships just started happening for me. I was only able to do a couple when I had the business, and when I didn't have it anymore, I was like, all right, let's kind of, you know, take whatever we think fits organically and authentically. And that still is very much so my thing. Like, if it feels like I'm having to do an ad, I will turn it down, because I don't, I think long term, that's shooting yourself in the foot if you're just taking stuff for the money. So staying true to myself, both in content and partnerships, for sure.
And I want to talk a little bit about that imposter syndrome, because I know that it doesn't ever go away. And even though we can know conceptually, right, like, just because you're not a award-winning culinary James Beard, blah, 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 like, as someone who's a foodie, like, sometimes I want my 15-course meal at Daniel in New York, and then sometimes I want my home cooking, and I need to cook for my family, and I want the best of both worlds. So, and even though we know that people, there's going to be space and room for everything, people are going to want everything, how do you not allow that imposter syndrome of being critiqued or judged or ridiculed or side-eyed keep you from continuously and consistently showing up and just creating the content that feels most aligned for you?
I have had to put boundaries around what I consume. That's the biggest thing for me. When I feel myself really heavy in the season of where I'm reading the comments, or I'm reading the Reddit comment about me, or when I find myself doing that, I'm like, no, okay, I've got to readjust, recalibrate, tunnel vision. I'm only looking really at at what I'm doing, and then I'm signing. It's like a, what do we call it? A post and ghost. I do that because it's really easy, especially in social media. Like, doesn't matter which area of the platform you're in, whether it's food or it's fashion or it's makeup, like, imposter syndrome is such a real thing. I have friends that have the accolades and they still feel that. So it's such a human response. And I saw Ali Webb, I don't know if you saw this the other day, I thought it was so brilliant how she talked about imposter syndrome is actually a symptom of something going, like, you're doing something right. If you're not a little bit afraid, then it's too safe and it's not worth your time. I thought that was so good. But yeah, to answer your question, I just have to, like, blinders on. You have to make yourself do it. And you go, you know, I just have to stay true to what I'm doing because that's what's worked. And anytime I've tried to be something that I'm not, it doesn't. And I don't want to live that way anyway. You want to really be true to yourself always.
Absolutely. Life is too short. To be talked about, like, you have to be known. You have to be doing something to be talked about. No one wants to be vanilla. Followers are not talked about. Leaders are talked about. And followers don't follow followers. They follow leaders. And so I think it's just remembering that if you're feeling that fear of being judged, well, you've got to make the conscious decision of, you know, do I want to be the contrarian? Do I want to be the one that's really honest with myself and that does something that's a little unique and different and spicy and that actually specializes in something? Or do I want to be a jack of all trades and somebody that's generalist and somebody that never really sticks out? And I remember it was, who used to tell me this when I was, like, in high school or little? I think it was, like, my mom or my aunt. She was like, you have to remember that if people talk behind your back, it's because they're behind you. So, like, you keep moving forward. Like, people are talking behind your back because they are behind you. So, like, keep your eye on your prize and keep moving forward. Do not look behind you. Look where you're going.
That's so good. That is so good. Wow. Okay. Love that.
Good reminder. And especially in the online space, like, we didn't have social media when I was in high school.
Same. I think at the very tail end, people started, like, doing a little MySpace.
Okay, so let's get into the good. So you start, you connect back with your team, you're on the track, you start testing out content. How did that look and feel for you? And I remember when this was happening and it was super fun and we were all kind of on the journey with you. How has that transpired to now and where you've gone from, like, the first initial, like, blue cheese stuffed olive to the couch caviar?
Well, I think, oh man, it was a lot of, like, testing stuff out and seeing what stuck. I think early on, we kind of had this idea of, oh, I'll just go into lifestyle. And I kind of pushed myself in there. And then a few things, like, fell flat. And I went, no, it's got to be more of an organic. Like, people are just used to me doing cheese boards and stuff. So yeah, I kind of just tested a lot of stuff out. I got really great advice from Hunter Primo. Because there was one day that I was like, I'm so overwhelmed. How do you guys constantly come up with content now that I'm having to do this, like, you know, having to be thoughtful? Because Katie, my manager, was like, you have to look at this like your full-time job now. This is like, you're planning out your content. You're, you know, really have, you have these deliverables for these ads and these things. And so I was like, oh my God. Hunter goes, when it comes to your content, try to, what does she say? film around what you're already doing versus doing things to film. And for me, that worked. And I'm sure that doesn't necessarily work for everybody, but having that mindset really helped me make that transition a little bit smoother. Because to your point, those first few months, I had an identity crisis. That summer that I closed, and I was like, okay, so am I still Cheese Gal? Am I, you know, but kind of stepping into the new role was, yeah, it was really interesting. I don't know. Does that answer kind of what you were saying?
Does. And I think that what you shared, and our listeners know of Hunter and love her, and we've interviewed her on this podcast as well. That was a great feedback that she gave you. And I think that it works for any industry. I think whether you're a lifestyle content creator or a brand coach like myself, like the more that we create content around what it is that we're naturally doing, the less that it's going to feel so forced. And so to me, I feel like that was a great takeaway. And it probably kind of let you off the hook a little bit and allowed you to breathe and have some fun.
My friends, have you ever thought that you have done the hard part? You have started your business and you have taken that leap from belief into really stepping out and claiming a vision for yourself. But you know that if you want to make money doing what you love, you need other support. You need to grow. You need to scale. You need a marketing strategy. You need a lot of this stuff. Now, of course, I talk so much about these things, right? Like how to identify your target audience, where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're really making the most out of your budget. And of course, how to use things like data to set goals. But there's another great podcast that I love out there that also talks about this stuff. And it's called This Is Small Business. This Is Small Business, an original podcast from Amazon, answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your business or you're looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to scale, This Is Small Business is going to give you the practical tips that you can start using today. And I know that if you love these topics on my podcast, you're going to love them on this one too. Make sure to follow This Is Small Business on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss these fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show. My friends, as creators, we work so hard creating our content. So we don't want to leave it up to things like an algorithm to determine how successful our online brands and businesses can be. And that is why I love Kajabi. Kajabi is the ultimate all-in-one platform that helps creators and entrepreneurs like myself build successful online businesses by unlocking predictable, recurring revenue. And I know they can help you too. No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, your passions, your experiences into enriching offers like online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, communities, personalized coaching, and so much more. What I love about Kajabi is that not only does it make it super easy to use, but they don't take a cut of your revenue because everything is owned and controlled by you. You don't need a huge audience to make a sustainable income online. I talk about that all the time here on the podcast. There are thousands of creators on Kajabi making 6 and 7 figures without having hundreds of thousands of followers. And you can too. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business. Go to kajabi.com/influencer. That's kajabi.com/influencer. Go to kajabi.com/influencer and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion.
I truly didn't, like the first full year that I was doing this, I almost didn't feel like it was work because I had that mindset of, I'm just going to show what I'm doing right now. I'm going to show what I'm making for lunch. I'm going to show what I'm making my family for dinner. It worked. It really did work. I'm so glad. Because otherwise I was like, I don't know.
Well, and one of the many things that I love about you and I love your content is that you're a foodie. Like you love food. And as somebody else who just loves food, you're not going to sugarcoat it. You're not going to try to paint a turd. Like you love the food. And one of the ways that you really embrace your love of food is not only with your recipes and showcasing what you eat, but when you travel. And that's been a really fun experience and journey to go on with you and your family and your husband. And I want to get to your husband in a minute because I know that he's like a supporting act in this awesome show. But I want to talk a little bit about how travel has started to influence the content that you're creating. And even, I mean, you went to Paris probably about a year ago-ish. And then I went to Paris this summer. And I went to the ham sandwich place that you said to go to. But it really does have this ripple effect of impact of what the beauty of you opening up your life and your world and you kind of giving us a glimpse of how food plays a part in the love and experience for travel. It allows other people to have that experience as well. So I would love just to hear, how was travel a natural just evolution into what you do? Was it more intentional? And how do you kind of decide, okay, this is going to be like a trip that we're going to create a lot of content for versus I'm not seeing anybody.
You know, one thing about my husband and I, we've been together for 10 years now. We've two things that made me fall in love with, well, more than these two things, but the top two things that I always was like, I want this and a partner, someone who loves food, okay, and loves good food. And by that, I don't mean necessarily needs to sit down at a Michelin star restaurant with 15 courses. I don't mean that, which we do love that from time to time, but I digress. And someone who loves to travel by eating the entire time, because that is how I want to travel. And that's how we do travel. It's what am I wearing and where are we eating? So I honestly, we've always traveled this way. And so now I'm just bringing people along for that. And I'm finding that people are really loving, they're loving the looks that I'm wearing. And they're, okay, wait, what did you order when you went to Don Angie? And what's the tip to get in? So then it's kind of turned into, but see, content like that helped me organically move into more, not that I'm still not in the food space, but a little more lifestyle. And so that was one thing that it definitely has helped in that aspect. But yeah, no, and we're going to Italy in April. I've never been, which I can't believe.
Well, and I'm like, I have never been so excited for someone to go to Italy before that hasn't been to Italy, just because you're not going to come home. You're not going to come back. Okay, where are you going?
Okay, we're doing Rome and Tuscany.
Oh, you can't do any better than that this time of year. Oh my God.
So we're doing it April 3rd to the 12th. And we're gone like 10 days. And I've never been gone that long for my kids, but I'm like, gotta go. You know what I mean? Like, they'll be fine. My mom's gonna stay with them. I'm so excited. I'm gonna eat my way through those parts of Italy. And we're both Italian. Chris and I both are too. So I'm like, we're going to the land of our people.
You've got to go to Roscioli in Rome.
Oh, this is the place everyone's telling me. And they just opened one in New York, but I heard it wasn't as good.
Rome is the main one, like in this random alley. You know, Rome's filled with alleys, and it is the best.
I love it. So you're going to have to send me your recs. I need all of your recs because I've never been.
I cannot wait to go with you virtually. Like, what are we wearing and what are we eating? I'm so excited for you guys. Wait, has he ever been?
No. I can't believe it. Like, my last name is Italian. La Corte. That's what my last name is.
My husband's Italian. And there's something magic about being Italian and going to Italy, or being married to an Italian and going to Italy. That's going to be awesome. I'm so excited for you. Well, it has been such a fun experience to have that be a part of your content. And to me, like, I feel like, you know, you have some content creators that they'll do these deals with Irwan and they'll like have their own milkshakes and things like that, or smooth. Yeah. Where it's like, I feel like for you though, we could expect to go to Don Angie and they would be like, I want the Courtney, please.
I mean, food is the language that we literally all speak. We all speak it. And I think the reason why I love it so much is, apart from really enjoying flavor and tasting, my best memories are around a table of some sort. From little to now, my favorite memories of my life. So it's like just the what's cultivated around the dinner table, just like, oh my God, what'd you get out of this bite? Did you taste that? The wine? Oh my God, I live for it, truly.
So let's talk about your husband a little bit and how he has the natural progression of his co-creation and involvement in the content that you create.
I have learned, first of all, I've learned so much from him. He's actually like a genius, very, very smart. Computer science degree, though, he's in music. So he has that type of brain. So when he really loves something, he studies it front and back. He reads books on like wine, or reads books on how to make this. I mean, he's just a brainiac in that aspect. So he started cooking right when we got married, really more than before I did. So he really helped kind of launch me into this space, like where the things that I do, I learned from him. Cooking skills, tips, like he's the cook really. And I'm like, okay, this is what Chris said today. He started cooking when we first got married because we were broke. I was a flight attendant and he was an on the road touring musician, and we loved food, but we were like, we can't go to a steakhouse every single night. So one of the first things that he learned how to make and make really well was a steak, the reverse seared steak that we make to this day. And so it all stems from there. And so he's taught me so much. So it's only natural to showcase him. And he's such a natural. Like, it cracks me up. We do everything in one take. I don't have to sit there and go, okay, let's do it again. He's like, all right. And I mean, it's hilarious. It's really impressive. I'm like, you don't do too bad. So he has a lot. He plays a big role in the recipes. He helps me develop a lot of stuff. And if he doesn't develop it, he's definitely my taste tester. And he is brutally honest, brutally honest. And sometimes he doesn't even need to taste it to know that it needs more of this. I'll just text him with what, okay, so I just came up with this baked mac and cheese for the Thanksgiving menu. This is what I'm doing. He's like, needs some crunch. Here's what I would add. A little cornflake, a little. I'm like, ow, you're so smart. So he just kind of has that brain. And I've loved bringing him. People recognize him now when he's out. It cracks me up. You're married to Cheese Scout. And he's like, yep, I sure am.
Okay, so share with us a little bit about with what you can. I know you've got a lot coming down in the pipeline. We've got Italy. I'm very excited about that. But I do. I love travel. So that I'm excited to see that. And then what else is coming through the pipeline that you can share when it comes to content, business, stuff?
I guess what I can say is that I'm doing a lot of research and development for something. Most people can probably guess what that's for. It's going to be a ways away, but a lot of research and development. Yeah. Let's see. I'm hoping to have some, I'm using the word merch lightly. It's not what you think it is, or maybe it is. And you're like, ah, that tracks. So I've got things like that towards the end of the year that we will be launching, but I'm really focused on broadening myself, broadening the brand to not just keeping it necessarily to Instagram, because I mean, as we all know, you never know. So I'm like, how can I broaden, you know, a TikTok, YouTube, Pinterest. Have you heard Pinterest is like a huge thing with creators these days?
Especially food ones.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, duh, that makes sense. Facebook, I heard, is coming back. I don't know if you've heard that one. And so I don't know, just working on things to broaden my brand. You know what I'm trying to say? Oh my God, my brain is dead. Broaden my brand. And I don't know, I want to build something that lasts and something that would make little 5-year-old Courtney proud. My dream one day, the dream is always a show. So that I'm putting that out there in the universe. My dream is always a show. And I'm hoping one day that would be a reality. I miss old school cooking shows. Don't you? The Inas and the Marthas, and that when it's like done in real time and you feel like you're in their kitchen. I love the competition shows. Like, those are fun too.
They're like a dream brand that you have. Are you like Target gal?
I did my first campaign with them. That was a dream, I will say. And I don't think I realized it was straight with the brand until like after I had filmed. Actually, you have to do the previews. I guess I thought it was through LTK and it was directly with Target. And I was like, oh damn, that's cool. Maybe, yeah, I would say like some sort of homeware line at some point with like a Williams-Sonoma, Crate and Barrel. That echelon would be really neat. Would be really neat because I'm a longtime consumer of both those places. Like, I have dishes in there from my first marriage when I was 21 years old. So it lasts a long time. Yeah, that's another podcast for me.
Okay, so I have some spitfire questions for you. And I'm coming in hot. I'm going to ask you who your favorite child is in one way or another. So if you could only eat one type of cheese for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
When you said these were going to be hard, like I didn't realize you literally meant which child do I like better. Okay. Probably St. Andre, which is a triple cream cheese. because it is the way I always describe it. It's a stick of butter and cream in the best way. You can smear it on a baguette. You can eat it whole wrapped in prosciutto with some sour cherry jam. You know, she can stand alone or you can pair, make a perfect bite. That's the cheese for sure. St. Andre. Cause I would be like really upset if I could never have that again.
What kind of wine are we pairing with that?
A white Burgundy.
Okay. Oh, done. Okay. Best meal you've ever had, or if that's too extreme, best meal you've had in like the last year.
22 Club Paris. Easy. Did you get to do that when you were there?
I didn't. I didn't do 22 Club. Yep. I did La Perouse and had the best meal of my life at La Perouse.
Let me write that down. 22 Club Paris. It's really special. I found out about it through Ina Garden. She had like posted about it. It's literally a 22 seated table. And it's like coursed out with wine pairings and you're in this apartment that's overlooking like the garden. I mean, it's like the most magical. I'm still friends with all of those people that we sat with and we're all on an email chain and all were best friends by the end of the night. Like Chris and I both said, not only was that one of the best meals of my life, but like one of the best nights of my life. Truly. Like it was just magic.
That's on the list then, because Paris is like my favorite city in the world. Okay. So favorite, like I know you've been doing the couch caviars. So favorite snack.
What time of day is it?
Okay. Favorite snack. It is 5 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Caviar on like, there is something so romantic, even if I'm by myself, like I love romanticizing my life and creating these moments where I'm like, this is it. You know what I mean? Like I'm all about wining and dining myself. Caviar on a salt and vinegar potato chip with a little creme fraiche, a little minced chive, a little minced shallot. Heaven.
Good stuff. Okay. And favorite snack on like a Friday night, you've already went out to eat, but like you didn't really eat enough. And so you come home and you're like, I just need something before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm. A little cheese plate. And not even like an arranged one, like where I do the perfect bites. So like an aged cheddar with a little prosciutto and a little honey and a little like on a nice cracker or something. Like I often will sit there and like Chris and I watch our show and I'm just like eating my cheese and crackers. Probably it would be that or no, I really that's my tried and true.
Okay. And then my last little spitfire is what is something that you have created that maybe sounded kind of like odd or weird in the beginning, but surprisingly is like really good and tasty.
Let me think about that one. Oh my gosh.
Something that like, I didn't think I was going to like that as much as I did.
I don't know. Have I been stumped? Let me think. An odd pairing or something that's like, you know.
That's okay. Everything that you make is fantastic.
Oh, definitely not.
That's okay. We're gonna end it on a stump.
I'm stumped. I do love mixing. I will say this. I do love mixing a high and a low. Does that make like a fried chicken and caviar or a fried chicken and champagne, a pizza and champagne, like that type of pairing for me when it's something kind of unexpected. I love that. Oh my God. My fave, French fries and champagne. I love that vibe is like me in a robe. That's it.
Okay. And I'm going to end it on this final question. What is a good, just nice tasting root champagne?
I love Schramsberg has a Blanc de Blanc that's like what, $25 or $30? And it's delicious. That is my go-to bottle sparkling wine that is, you know, made. They make it in the same style of actual champagne, how champagne is made. They just can't actually call it champagne because it's not made in the region of France, but that. Or I do love a Cremant d'Alsace too. That's a great sparkling, really dry, really crisp, pairs great with food or on its own. It's a good thing to use like in a spritz so that it's not something that's like too nice that you don't want to mix it, but it's still delicious.
Love it. Okay, we're ending on a toast. Thank you for letting me selfishly just geek out about your upcoming travels and ask you a lot of fun questions about food. I could literally talk to you all day about food. But for those who are not following you, I want to make sure that we shout you out. So please share your socials, where people can find you, where people can follow you, and if you have a website as well.
Okay, you can find me on Instagram at Cheese Gal, literally Cheese Gal. That's Instagram. TikTok is Cheese, and it's spelled C-H-Z Gal. I grabbed the Cheese Gal handle at one point and then forgot what the password was and the email that I associated it to, so I can't actually grab Cheese Gal. You can find me on YouTube at – I probably have a contact. I can – anyway, I'm too lazy for that. YouTube is youtube.com/cheese_gal. And then I do have a website as well where I have a blog with recipes. I also have a monthly newsletter, which people have really liked because we do a roundup of all the recipes that I've done that month. And we make recipe cards that are savable and printable. You can save them to any device, print it out if you want a hard copy. So people really like that. But you can sign up at cheesegal.com for that as well. Thank you for having me. I had the best time. Seriously, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for so much for coming on. And to our fun listeners, as always, if any part of today's conversation was a highlight moment for you, made you think differently, gave you some inspiration, made you laugh, made you think we were crazy, we want to hear about it. So make sure to screenshot today's episode, tag me and Courtney in it. Let us know what your biggest takeaway was today, because we love to see those and connect with you as well. And my friends, I will see you next week. Same time, same place. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you, Julie.
As always, thank you so much for joining me today and every week here on the Influencer Podcast. If you're wanting to dive deeper into the topics and discussions that we have here, I would encourage you to head over to juliesolomon.net and sign up for my weekly newsletter. It is in our amazing newsletter community that we are able to really support you on a much larger scale. And I love to do a ton of amazing things that I send inside your inbox every single week. So just head over to juliesolomon.net. You'll see a little spot there that you can add your information in, and you will get on the list and start receiving all of that good stuff.